Thank you. Thank you very much for that reading of God's holy word to us for this morning. And Helen, that's a fairly new song to me, but I've heard it before and it touches me every time because it seems to express so beautifully what the longing of our heart is for God to bring about in our lives, and not only our lives individually, but our lives as a congregation. And I just thank you for teaching us that, and I look forward to singing it together as a congregation, as an aspiration of faith and prayer to God. I'm honored to preach. It's a privilege, something I never take for granted, and I consider it a sacred responsibility to seek to open God's word and to share from my heart what God has laid on my heart for this morning. We begin a new sermon series this morning. Helps if I turn this clicker on, doesn't it? Yes. There we are. New sermon series on prayer. And this is a wonderful quote from Brother Richard Foster, who has a book on prayer. "Prayer is the key to finding our home in the heart of God. If prayer is the key, the door is Jesus. How good of God to provide us a way into his heart." Prayer. It's mysterious. We all struggle with it at some point, but we understand its essential nature for our own spiritual maturity and growth. As you heard already, we're beginning a sermon series on prayer. Prayer, if you dare. Three necessary, but a bit risky prayers to pray. Today, it's "God, search me." Next week, it's "God, send me." There you go. And the last one is perhaps the most risky one of all. "God, break me." There's a list of books on prayer that Bronwyn helpfully collected from our library. So if you want to supplement or support this sermon series by reading some books on prayer from the library, there are sheets that list, we have quite a collection, and invite you to grab one of those sheets there in the library afterwards. Would you read this together with me, these verses? "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." This daring personal prayer invites God's scrutiny. Scrutiny is to examine something closely. It's an inspection. It's an examination. It's to look closely, not just to glance at something. It petitions God to examine us, our behaviors, our relationships, our thoughts, our secrets, our sins, our successes, our praises. It's a searching inspection. At least once a year, I go to my family doctor and I say, "Doc, search my body. Look carefully at my body. Test me and listen to my concerns. See if there's anything messed up or unhealthy, and give me guidance how to live healthy." This prayer invites God to give us a moral and a spiritual examination. I don't know about you, but scrutiny of any kind for me, somebody looking closely at me, can feel risky. I get a little nervous because of the uncertainty of what they're going to see. They're going to see the good, bad, and the ugly when they look closely enough. This happens in so many ways for us. Many of us work in jobs that have annual reviews. Strengths and weaknesses are identified. X-rays and MRIs look through our bodies to see what's there and to find out what's going on. A blood panel can do dozens and dozens of features that are in our blood, a close scrutiny of what's literally running through our veins. Quizzes and examinations, those of you in school, test what we know and what we don't know. That's a scrutiny. Court trials weigh the evidence of guilt and innocence. As a boy growing up in missionary boarding school, every day we had a room inspection. And the score was posted publicly for everyone to see. And at the end of the semester, if you got nice high scores all season long and met a certain threshold, you got to go, the other neat freaks got to go to the American Hilton in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. This was a big deal. How many times did I go? Not very often. I don't fall into that neat category. I've served on the board of a number of Christian organizations. At least once a year, we ask an accounting firm to do an audit of the accounts, the transactions. We ask the accountant, the accounting firm, to search us, to take a look and see what we find. Inviting scrutiny can be risky and dangerous because we never know for sure what people are going to find. And we're particularly sensitive to criticism and to mistakes being exposed. And it's especially risky if we know we have something to hide. We resist, we become defensive, we avoid, we find all kinds of ways to slip away. But here's the point. When we know the examiner and trust that they are for us and not against us, it changes everything. Do you want to be audited by the IRS? Any hands? I don't want to be audited by the IRS. But I'd trust and welcome an audit from an accountant. I trust, even though it may uncover some problems and ways to improve. Do you want to be investigated by the FBI or by the local district attorney? I don't. But I wouldn't mind. In fact, I welcome, with some fear and trepidation, God's investigation, a scrutiny of holiness and love. No need to hide or suppress. The full, unvarnished truth, strengths and weaknesses, gifts and sins, what truly is. It's a joint search. God's hand is with mine as we go on this searching journey. When we know the examiner and trust that they are for us, we can invite them to search completely because we know it's for our good and not harm. Let's read this psalm again. And if you have your Bibles, I invite you to open it. I won't be posting much here of the text on the screen, but I'll have a few just highlighted points about Psalm 139. Verse 1, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me." This is the anchor bolt for the whole psalm. It's the headline. You've already investigated me, God. You know me inside and out. You are God and I am not. I acknowledge that right up front. Then verses 2 to 6. "You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. God, you know all my daily activities, what I think about. Even before I say something, you know it. Oh, that's sobering. You're all around on every side. You're personal. You're close. This is amazing. This is wonderful. This explodes my brain. No computer algorithm will ever figure that out. No melody is so beautiful as the knowledge of knowing that you know me through and through, God. Verses 7 to 12. You're inescapable. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, in Hades, it actually says, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, and the night will shine like the day. For the darkness is as a light to you. You are inescapable, God. There's nowhere that I can get away from you. Your spirit and your light, from highest heaven down to the deepest spot in the ocean. Early in the morning, to the other side of the world, you're there ahead of me. You got me. Your hand is on me. I can't even hide in the darkness, my own darkness, because you are light. My darkness disappears in your light. 11 to 16, excuse me, 13 to 16. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God, you made me. I'm not an accident of biology. I praise you because you made me body and soul. You know every bone of my body and how I was formed in my mother's womb. All the stages of my life were spread before you before I was born. This is mind-boggling. Let me just make an aside here with these verses. These poetic verses are a powerful rebuke of abortion and the sin of treating unborn children as nothing more than fetal tissue. Human life is sacred. Each one is sacred, even in the womb. This is not just biology. This is not just about personal rights. This is about the God that we worship. 17 and 18. How precious are your thoughts, God? How vast is the sum of them? If I were to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. You're bigger, God, than all the computing capacity and human intelligence of the world. The way your mind works, God, I can't begin to wrap my head around. There's no way to calculate it, but it's not scary. It's precious, God. And then the psalmist David begins to look around. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. The psalmist takes his eyes off the beauty and majesty of God and looks around at all the violence and evil he is outraged. He's just been singing glorious songs of worship, and now he complains and com- complains and condemns all the bad people, the corrupt culture that's rebelling against God, because they are your enemies, God. They are my enemies. You know, I wondered whether to include this section in the message this morning because it just seems so out of character from the rest of the passage. So I thought about, leaving it out. It's so judgmental, so angry, hostile, and hateful. But I was reminded of a bumper sticker I once heard about. The bumper sticker went like this: I love God, I love my family, it's the rest of you I can't stand. Actually, the language was a little stronger than that. It tells the rest of you where to go. I almost hear David saying something similar. You're beautiful, God. I love you. But I can't stand the wicked, rebellious, the godless, and the corrupt. I believe these verses belong in this passage. They belong for us to hear and absorb. They're very human. They're like me, perhaps you. We sing and we worship God in worship on Sunday morning with hearts full of wonder and joy. It's genuine, it's full of longing and gratitude and hope, and then we listen to the evening news or we read something that someone posted or someone calls us upset and accusing, and we can turn on a dime. God, you're amazing. I love you from the bottom of my heart. It's these hard-hearted people around me I can't stand. And then it's almost like David comes to his senses and says, wait a minute, God. That's not really where I want to go. That's not really where I want to go. Get mad at the world and all that's wrong with it. I want you, God, to turn your eyes on me, scrutinize me and my heart, cross-examine me, test me and my worries, uncover anything about me that's wrong, and guide me on the right road to eternity. This is a dangerous and a necessary prayer. God, search me, God, makes more sense right after these four verses of David condemning and hating the wicked and the bloodthirsty. It's a kind of confession. He says, oops, God, I did it again. Oops, God, I did it again. I'm growling, I'm snarling, and angry at people all around me. No, God, I love you. I know you love me. I want you to search me. I want you to probe deeply within me. Just a very simple, practical way that this, here's this phrase again. When we know the examiner and trust that he is for us rather than against us, it changes everything. Let me offer in closing a practical example of how this can occur. Sometimes called the prayer of examine. Examine actually comes, it's from a Latin word that means a balance. You know, the way scales used to be, you know, you'd have two sides, and that bar between them is the examine. It's what goes up or down. The prayer of examine. And this is something that we can do, you can do, daily, a couple times a week, once a month, doesn't have to be often. Is to ask God for light. Shine your light on me. Shine into me. Do your MRI on my moral and spiritual life. Give thanks. This day I've just lived as a gift from God, or this time I've just lived as a gift from God. And list it. Be grateful. Review the time. Carefully look back on the day just completed, being guided by the Holy Spirit. 4, face your shortcomings. I face up to what is wrong in my life and in me, and look toward the day to come. I have done this myself. 2016, I did it regularly for the whole year. It was quite an experience. My list was a little different. I used my laptop computer, listing things that I'm grateful for. Several times a week, I would do this. Things I'm grateful for the day. And then regrets, confessions, things that I have found that I did not live up to. And then to look towards hope. What have I seen of your goodness and hope in my life, God? And then intercession, to pray for those that I know and love. I offer this as just a simple example. Let me close by talking about the communion service that we are planning to share together in 2 weeks on October 10. The Search Me prayer is a great prayer in preparation for communion, sharing communion together. It's a covenant meal of the Lord's Supper. The scriptures invite us to pray this prayer. Search me, God. Go with me and take an honest look. Scrutinize me. Invite us to think about these questions. Show me, God. Am I at peace with you? Is there any offensive way in me? Please bring it to the surface. I'm not going to try to hide, nor am I going to go into self-condemnation. I just want your loving, holy honesty. Show me, God, am I at peace with my brothers and sisters in the faith? Is there something you want me to do to clear the air? Show me, God, am I ready to commit myself to Christ and to this congregation of God's children that gathers at Franconia? I invite us over the next couple weeks to think about this in next 2 weeks as we prepare to share communion on October 10. And I can't think of a better way to conclude this than to have us stand and read this together as our closing prayer, and then we will sing and move into our baptismal service. Together, let's read this. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.